Continuing with our review of this past week's Supreme Court activity, the reactions to Justice Anthony Kennedy announcing his retirement have been interesting. That's a good word. Interesting to watch. Democrats are promising a blockade to any nominee until after the midterm elections. Republicans are actually butting heads over whether a conservative versus moderate nominee is a good or bad idea. Here to offer his insight into all this is a man who's gone from duck calls to reality TV with the mastering of marketing along the way, I should add, too. He now speaks out in support of political candidates, has a show on CRTV called In the Woods with Phil. Phil Robertson, thank you so much for being here today, Phil.
Good to be here, Chris.
A couple of websites, of course, Phil's show, In the Woods with Phil, CRTV.com, and learn more about the business, duckcommander.com. As I said in the introduction, the Democrats are going to try to play out the clock with the hope that they're going to get control of the Senate and have things go their way with a Supreme Court nominee, which is growing more and more unlikely to happen if trends of polls mean anything. You think we should be more concerned about a Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski, Bob Corker, or Jeff Flake, even John McCain speaking up and doing an effective blockade if they find someone who Trump nominates too conservative?
I want your listeners to realize, in the grand scheme of things, in my view of it all, and I think I can give you two or three points to make that a salient point involved in all this. The writer of our Constitution, in other words, we have one Supreme Court justice that stepped out, and we want to get one to take his place. So the man who wrote, we're asking for a strict constitutionalist, and someone says, well, what's behind that? James Madison, who wrote it, who put it together, the father of our Constitution, and he said this in 1788, Chris. He said, now there are some that might have, some ingenious theorist may have in his mind that I planned by myself the Constitution of the United States either in my closet or via my imagination. And then he says this, the real wonder is that so many difficulties should have been surmounted. What he's saying is, up until Madison and the rest of those guys, our founders, developed the Constitution and presented it, up until that time, the king had always been law. These founding fathers, along with James Madison, said from now on, God will be the giver of the law, is what we're going to purport here. God is the giver of law. He is the one lawgiver and judge, and we're simply going to found a nation based on him, and the Constitution is going to be a product of our work. He said this, the real wonder is that so many difficulties should have been surmounted and have been very unexpected, this Constitution. It's impossible for any man of candor to reflect on these circumstances without partaking of being astonished by such a document. It is impossible, now here's the key point, for the man of pious reflection not to perceive, when we all read the Constitution, we not see that in it, the Constitution, a finger of that almighty hand, which has been so frequently and signally extended to our relief in the critical stages of this revolution. So the writer of the Constitution said, God is really the author of it, and I wrote it by his direction. Well, once we start deviating from that, the first Supreme Court justice, Chris, was John Jay, and every one of those guys, including him, and that tradition has gone on for a couple of hundred years, they were all required to sign their name in a King James Bible, and John Jay, our first Supreme Court justice, said, Providence has given it to our people the choice of their rulers. It is the duty as well as the privilege an interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians to be their rulers. So Madison and John Jay, the first Supreme Court justice, said, listen, when you're dispensing law, always remember there's a big difference between the Supreme Court and the Supreme Being. That's the point of it all.
This is true. And what you're talking about is unfortunately a foreign concept to so many who feel the need to interpret the Constitution as opposed to read it. And if you don't get it when you're reading it, well, Madison and all the boys left plenty of notes behind to explain what they were thinking.
Yeah. You just think of such a document. One of the founding fathers said, look, if you're wondering why the Supreme Being's name was not invoked in the Constitution, because a lot of the people on the left will say, oh, well, but God's name is not actually in it. He said, all you have to do, they all said this, all you have to do is read the amendments, and you'll know that it's the source of it is from God himself. And all the protection and the rights we have, freedom of speech, you know, and the Second Amendment and all of those things. He said, it is God and the law of Moses that this document is based on. So when you look at it like that, we now, amazingly, after about 60 years to 70, in my lifetime, I've seen this downward spiral and these dastardly decisions about it's okay, we're going to move the line a little bit on commandment number 6, don't murder. And we're going to allow that, you know, because they're really not people in all these arguments. The commandment says, do not murder. And when we go against that and the Supreme Court tries to supersede the Supreme Being, trouble is there ensues because the thing about marriage, God said plainly, man, woman, procreate, have your children. What I've joined together, let man not separate. We took 7,000 years of God's writings, and we just said, well, marriage is really not that. We can marry anybody, and here we go down this road. So for the first time in my lifetime, Chris, I'm at least now hopeful that because of one Donald J. Trump, shocker of shocks, that this man would in fact put Gorsuch in, and now we have number 2 coming up. I don't think it was by accident. I think God is working innocent through us, and finally we can start righting some of these wrongs we've put on ourselves over the last 70 years. I don't think the no God thing has worked out well, Chris. Do you?
No, I don't think it's done well at all. We're talking with Phil Robertson, DuckCommander.com. He also has a show on CRTV, In the Woods with Phil at CRTV.com. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And this was one of the primary reasons why Trump won, because the people were looking at the Supreme Court. It was an open topic of debate, too, during the campaign. And they had a choice. Who do you want to nominate the next generation of the court, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? And the people made the choice.
I'm a good example. I was with Ted Cruz because he was a strict constitutionalist and a godly man. I looked up after he got bumped, trumped him, and I'm looking at Hillary Clinton, Chris, or Donald J. Trump. Hillary, I knew. Trump, I had no idea. He's the unknown. I thought, well, the alternative is such a terrible choice, Hillary Clinton. I can't go there, so I'm going to go into the unknown and vote for Donald J. Trump. It is interesting that, as Providence would have it, they told me one day, they said, Phil, you have 10 minutes with Donald Trump, who's running for president, if you want it. I said, I'll take it. So I go in, and I had the gospel of Jesus written down on a piece of paper, God becoming flesh in hieroglyphics, an arrow coming down out of heaven, a cross, a tomb, an arrow coming out of the tomb. And I showed it to Trump. I said, Trump, whatever happens, don't forget this, because our founding fathers stood on it. It's what our country was founded on. And he said, what is that? And I said, I'm glad you asked. I said, this is God becoming flesh. Your calendar documents it 2018 years ago. He died for Donald Trump's sins, is the way I put it to him. I said, you do have sins, don't you, Trump? And he said, oh, yeah. I said, he removed them right there 3 days later. He allowed you an escape hatch from the grave itself, so don't forget that, because our nation's founded on that, according to Patrick Henry, founded on the gospel of Jesus. Trump intently listened to what I was telling him when I preached the gospel to him, Chris, and he said, can I have that piece of paper? I said, you can. and I gave it to him. I said, adios, and out the door I went. So I know that he has heard, and watching his policies since he's been in office. Chris, they can say what they want to about a little bombastic attitude from time to time on his part, and a little rude at times, but in the grand scheme of things, I am very pleased with the direction that we're now headed as a nation.
Well, there's two things you need to do in the world of politics, which too many can't. You get people to listen, and you do what you say.
Yep.
And that's you reflect that as well, because you're not afraid to speak the truth, and you certainly are an American success story with your business and your personality and what you do today in connecting people with the honest politicians and the good people who want to make a difference. DuckCommander.com. You can check out Phil as well. In the Woods with Phil at CRTV.com. Phil Robertson, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks, Chris.